AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anissa Ferreira.
And I'm Devin Simone, and this is MTV's official challenge podcast. Woo woo! I love this episode, Nene.
Devin, we're getting to the end.
We are.
We are getting to the end of a pretty good season.
Yeah, it's good. Like, it's and today's episode, like, same. I had moments where I was literally, like, shouting advice. And the elimination, you know, like, get low, move.
I'm just glad that they showed it. I'm like, if they give us another cliffhanger,
oh, right.
I'm closing my I'm leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm firing myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't watch this any longer.
They gave us a lot of goodness in this episode.
They did. They really did, which I feel like TJ's going to punish them next episode.
Oh, I do.
So I cannot wait to see this final because it looks like everybody's getting hooked up to
IV.
So.
Which is wild. Like, it looks really brutal. I think he's still holding a grudge because they kept stalemating and they kept ignoring him. And TJ said, don't stalemate. And they kept... I mean, they're bold to be testing TJ like that. I personally wouldn't, but...
Right, but sometimes he doesn't do that. He just, like, does it in another way, but... He wasn't playing this time.
He was not playing. Speaking of playing, of the players this week, Nene, who was your king or queen, your ruler of the world, and who do you think was on another planet?
Who was my king or queen? You know, I might have to give the king to Troy.
Okay.
The king of Troy.
Yeah.
I feel like as a tinier player, and I'm not speaking about myself, but as a woman that's like 5'7", mm-hmm. And looking at guys that have been, you know, of smaller heights on this show, mm-hmm. how they get kind of treated as disposable or easy to beat
right.
or whatever. He really did his thing.
Yes, he did.
He did as much as he could, considering that I feel like when I look at Troy and I look at, yes, I'm like, these aren't like head-to-head, like physical. These are like thinkers, mm-hmm. agile. Like, they're good at those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Climbing, hiking, like, they're good at those things. So it was interesting to see it. I love the heart that both of them showed.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was really nice to watch that.
Yeah. Troy,
because I also give it to the queens all the time, and I figured, you know, it's nice to share the crown a little bit.
Who was on another planet for you this episode?
Listen, I'm gonna need Theo and his dolphin badge.
You know what?
to go get his math badge.
Right. Maths, M-A-F.
Some of the maths, get his maths badge. And no, I mean, there were a lot of things in this. I feel like a group of people were on another planet. Like, let's make this deal and then, like, not stick to it. Like, it almost looked like Kaz is on another planet. She was in the water. Jordan's just hanging out. Like, you would have thought everybody else was on Saturn, just chilling.
Yeah.
Because that's what the people on the shore felt like. They didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, I wonder what TJ was thinking watching that. Like, I really,
He was like, are they throwing it?
Yeah.
And you know he hates that shit, too.
He does hate it.
I think TJ's just trying to punish everybody, and he's going to in the final. So
I think so, too. For me, on another planet, would have to be yes, the mess. And we talked about him last week, and this is the reason why. Because no, he didn't immediately sabotage Troy and Casey, only to then go prepare himself a snack and sit right next to Troy immediately after and be like, hey, man, I'm sorry, but we cool, you know? Like, I hope you. And Troy was like, nah, man, we're not cool. This is not cool.
I feel like yes isn't great at like being a dick or playing a messy game. Mm-hmm. And I think that this was his, you know, this was like his first time at like trying to be political and do all these other things. And it worked until it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way. So that's actually a good way to put
it.
I
think that he just felt a little silly and knew that he was probably going to go in and was like, hey, man, like no hard feelings.
Yeah. I mean,
I voted you in a bunch.
Or it seemed almost even like they were delusional for a moment of really thinking, or maybe they just felt doubly safe because Sarah won. Right. And we know Sarah and Emily's relationship. So maybe they felt super, super, super safe. I'd say that my ruler of the world, well, an honorable mention goes to Tori's hair. I know I've talked about it before, but the way it has just evolved, as someone who has lived in the Challenge House a couple of times and knowing the lack of resources, okay, that are there, don't go Googling old pictures, please. The way her hair just glistens and seems to thrive in a Challenge House is still baffling to me. I'd pay good money for it.
Listen,
I don't fully understand.
I want to pay for these damn clippings.
And she has this beautiful
and I would have
blonde
to get a relaxer.
It's a lot.
And I'm not doing it.
She does. Like this time it's like ombre. And I've just been watching it all season. It gets progressively better. I don't understand how she does it. I do know if she comes out with the hair care line.
She changed it up a little bit. And she made her waves bigger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it looks a little bit straighter at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been up as much.
Yeah. And it's good, but it's good. Yeah. Good stuff.
It does look good. Yeah. She looks beautiful.
Yeah. She looked gorgeous. She's the honorable mention. But the real winners are Casey and Troy. Those are my rulers because ever since they got paired up, I mean, think about it. Both of them lost their partner. So they really had to form.
They literally were going to go home.
Yeah, they both were going to go home. Had to form a very quick bond, quite quickly. And they did so. They've been in elimination multiple times. And then they get to go against, instead of being afraid of the people who kept sending them in, they said, we're going to take you on. And then on top of that, after they won, we saw them give consolation hugs and just say, hey, I saw Casey say to Emily, hey, you are a beast out there. Like, which is
of
just
course.
Excellent but when, gameplay.
I mean, that's just how it is, though, once you're done, too.
Well, it is. But we saw a little smack talking, though. But we know that, you know, Troy and Casey at least won with a certain level of like decorum and respect. And that was just, that was great to see. And so they get my ruler of the worlds this week. I'm guessing TJ and his train conductor outfit is going to get it next week, but TBD, we haven't seen it. But we have a great episode for you today. We have, for those of you who've been Challenge Podcast fan members for quite some time and who listen to us do Challenge USA, that I think you'll really appreciate this episode because we have Sarah Lucina on. And if you watch Challenge USA, you know we gave her hell last season. And then she turned it around.
And Devin's about to give her hell this time.
Maybe.
She gives me hell. She's going to give everyone hell.
I don't give anyone hell. But I don't know. You're going to have to stay tuned and find out. So grab a snack, buckle up, and get ready for one fun interview with the fabulous Sarah Lucina coming up right after this.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
All right, you guys, she is back. She is many things, not only a survivor vet, not only a champion of the Challenge USA, but also I'd say she holds the title of biggest comeback on her USA season. What I meant by that is in watching her gameplay, she and I had it out. I was not a fan, but when she came on the podcast, I am such a Sarah fan. So I'm so glad to have her here today. We have Sarah Lacina from the Challenge World Championship. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Devon. How's it? Oops. Uh-oh.
And that's why I wasn't a fan of her before. No, I'm kidding.
Don't worry. I did it a lot too I'm when kidding. I started podcasting with them.
No, I am. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Good. So glad to have you back. Now, the last time we talked to you, you were about to go, or no, you were on vacay. Were you at the Lake of the Ozarks? Do you remember? You were.
Yep. I think it was like Labor Day weekend, maybe. Down at the Ozarks. So
absolutely.
Now I'm sitting in Iowa. So
woo, good okay, old Iowa. Here we go. For good all our Iowa. Listeners in Iowa, we have one other person who's there too.
Not one other person. You know they have a cousin that listens to Anissa, so it's two.
I don't make those types of assumptions, but I guess that they are there. I want to get into this because I want to go all the way back, Sarah. I will say this. I was unsure. Watching Challenge USA. I didn't know about you. I didn't watch Survivor. But then I watched this season and I was like, oh, she's really trying to start some shit. Like, she's really trying to get to this final. She does not give a shit what anyone thinks. And she's going to do whatever it takes to get there. And I liked, even though I am a vet and I've been playing this a long time, I liked the change up of the dynamic. Even though Tori is my best friend and she was trying to protect my other friend, Casey, but also Yes is my friend and all of these people I have these relationships with. So watching everybody kind of have to play a different game because there were different variables, i.e. you, was exciting for me. I was like, this is getting messy, Sarah, and I love it.
Coming in this being your second season of the Challenge, what were the differences for you in how you played the game the first time, sort of your official rookie season, to playing it this time? Was there a switch up for you? Did it feel different? What was that like?
No, I think it was, you know, similar, but just on a bigger stage, we have all these legends come in, right? And so we've gotten to see how they have played the game and kind mm-hmm. of what reputations they have. Whereas, you know, I had never watched Love Island. So the people that were on right. Love Island that were on Challenge USA, I don't really watch The Amazing Race. You know, I knew the Big Brother people, but just from what I see on TV. So I feel like we almost got more of a packet, you know, going into this mm-hmm. because a lot of these guys have been on for years. So going in, you know, I was open to working with anybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was also aware of kind of how they've played in the past and where.
Did you research in prepping for this season? Like, did you go back and rewatch certain seasons or episodes when you heard, you know, who might be on this season?
So I didn't really rewatch, but I did go online and Wiki fandom mm-hmm. or whatever does like mm-hmm. a breakdown of the seasons, right? So like you can get all the cliff notes, like who beefed with who put, you can see who put who into an elimination and things like that. So I definitely
not
went
doing an SAT on the Challenge,
right?
I hate it so much.
So I wanted to, like, who's good at this, who's good at that. I definitely wanted to prep, and that's kind of like how I attacked Survivor too. Is, I mean, my husband probably gets tired of me talking about the shows, but it's like we prep every single day. Just, okay, mm-hmm. if this happens, what are we going to do? Or, you know, what should I do if this happens? What, you know, I feel like I've been pretty successful. And so that's why I just try to do as much homework as I can, you know, going into this stuff, because again, I'm, you know, everybody's leaving home. I don't want it to sound like I'm the only one that left something back at home, but, you know, I love my husband, my son, my coworkers, you know, a full-time job. And it's I'm not just going out there to party. I'm going out there to win money. And so right. you better be prepared.
You said that with the seriousness that's borderline scary. I mean, I respect it, but it's also borderline. Your face just went very like, be prepared. This episode was so good on so many. I mean, there were definitely clutching moments. I don't know about you guys. You obviously lived it, Sarah, and I don't know about you watching it, Nisa, but there were just multiple moments that
I didn't know what was going to happen. I was like, who's going to lose on purpose? Who's going to get up the ladder first? Who's going to sabotage whom? And is Sarah going to keep her word? That was really my biggest thing. I'm like, Sarah has this deal, but are Jordan and Kaz about to go in if they don't win? Like, that's the only thing I could think about. And I'm like, it just unfold after that stalemate. It was a lot. This episode was a lot for me.
It was a lot. It was good. The elimination, like, and we'll get to all of that piece, but let's start with the daily. So it's funny because we saw Theo oscillate around how he felt about the win, right? Because he was like, you know, it's a win, amazing. But then he's like, but it was karma because my ex like helped me win. And so we saw him go back and forth. How did you feel about winning this daily, especially knowing you're as competitive as you are and you set such a high standard for you? Do you feel like it was given to you? Do you feel like it was deserved?
100% it was given to us, but a win's a win. So, here's like, okay, going back a little bit, our very first swim challenge that we did that Kellyanne and Tristan won, Theo and I are like doing our OTF right before it. And he's like, he's in the frame being like, oh, this is ours to win. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, we're going to crush this. And I'm like, Emily has a fucking gold medal. Like at 16, she had like a world record. Are you serious right now? So now I'm thinking, oh shit, Theo's a serious swimmer. That couldn't be more false.
Now you putting Theo on blast like that.
So
imagine if he could swim.
Though. Right? So I'm not a great swimmer. I would like on a scale of 1 to 10, I give myself a 4. And on that first swim challenge, I had to swim back out and help Theo. So then when we get to like our next swim challenge that we have where we're tied together, well, you see Emily's just pulling and you got Jordan pulling Kaz. I can't fucking pull Theo. Like it's like I'm a little Toyota Prius trying to pull a semi behind me and it ain't happening. I remember getting up to the shore and I'm like standing up walking and feels like he goes, pull me. And I go, stand up. And he's standing up and he's gonna walk in the water. And so going into this final challenge, I was like, great. Another swim challenge, like we're screwed. So quite honestly, yes, we deserved that win.
It sounds like, Sarah, you deserve that win because you've been putting up with Theo's nonsense all season. So it sounds like really, quite honestly, got to the point that you deserved that win in that moment.
No, we both did. And he's telling me how, don't worry about it. I got the dolphin badge in my swim lessons when I was a kid.
No, and not the dolphin. Yes, not talking about 1996.
Right.
Like, relax. Right. Or however old he is. Right. I got the dolphin badge.
Come to find out, you just had to write your name on the top of the paper to get that. So that's how he got it. So that's our swimming ability. So I would say, you know what, when all else fails, when you can't physically do it, if you can rely on your social politics in the game to get your win, then hell yeah, you deserved it.
Girl, you preaching to the choir. How do you think I made it to two finals?
Right.
Regarding when Kaz and Jordan started helping you, it seemed kind of like, watching it seemed like you guys were kind of confused. Like, wait a minute, hold up, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Were you really confused? Did you not trust their answers initially? Or were you like, hey, it just must be my lucky day. I'm a roll with this. It seems like they really want us to win.
Yeah, no, I knew they couldn't pull anyone's flag anymore, you know? So, and then they're not like, Kaz is in the water. So they are like giving it to us. It was taking us forever because our necks were at a weird angle and stuff. So it was hard to see. Kaz could see better down on the ground, I think.
If you touch the water, were you out? So like if she was in, but Jordan was still up, they were fine.
Yeah, they were fine.
Okay.
And so, then they're going, come on, you guys. We're like, we're trying. And so then finally all four of us just started working together and we ended up getting it. So
did, Did Theo also have a dolphin badge for math?
No. Nope. And
you didn't have one either until later. You got the gold star.
Right.
When you're up there, it's exhausting. So I get it.
Yeah.
A lot's on the line.
No, and then, but I think too, then the pressure was off because we knew we were going to win. And I was almost like, TJ, can we just like act like we got it? And then, because they're giving it to us.
Do but was really, the pressure off though, I mean, Sarah? You were going to have to make a decision.
Well, the pressure was off to figure out that math problem.
Well, why couldn't Jordan and Kaz just go into the water and then hand it to you guys? Were they saying like, we're not going to like,
yeah,
they weren't going to give up. They were going to hand it to you, but they weren't going to hand it to you, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus they had to help with the math angles.
Clearly we'd still be waiting for the episode.
Absolutely. I mean, if they quit, then are they the losers then?
Oh, good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just one of those, like, they weren't just going to, TJ wasn't going to blow the horn. So it's like, all right, help us. and we got it. So
had you been told, by any means, because you were so close with Emily, who we had on last week, did she inform you about the deal that Jordan had made with them beforehand? Like, was that kind of on your radar at all? Or,
you know, I can't remember. I mean, obviously I know about it like after the fact.
Right.
But it's been so, like, so much happens that I don't know if I knew before that. Mm-hmm. But maybe I did.
At any point throughout the game, had you started, as it's, the number starts like getting narrower, had you been having conversations with yourself around what happens if, because I find this is something that, you know, people come in and give the vets a lot of crap for, understandably so. They do a lot of the same things. But obviously, the longer and the more you do this gaming, you're seeing that even in your second season, the trickier it becomes if you're a likable person, right? Because you start to make friends and you start to grow close with people and build a connection. So had you already started having conversations in your mind around, okay, we're getting to a smaller number and I'm here with multiple teams that have my top people on them, what happens if, you know what I mean? Like, what happens if it comes down to a Danny or an Emily? Had you been having those conversations with Danny or Emily beforehand? Had you been thinking about it at all? Or did you not really think about it until you won this daily and you were kind of put in that situation?
I think I thought about it a little, but definitely didn't have to like put it into reality until this happened. And then I'm going, this was the worst thing possible, us winning this. Like, at that point I'm like, okay, this is, you know, not good at all. But that's the game that we sign up to play. And, you know, anytime you get down, you know, to small numbers, you're gonna have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. And yeah, like, if I could go back, would I want to have to make that decision? No. But if I could go back, would I have like offered up first place to not have to make that decision? I think my answer is no also. So
it's no, it's going to be a no for me as well, because that made for great television.
I mean, at the end of the day, only one team can win. And the only way you can win is to make it to the final. And so by, you know, making that deal with Jordan and Kaz to like, let us win, even though the decision was going to be put on us, the only way I can win is if I'm in the final. And so, I wouldn't change it. It just sucks. It's part of the game though. And that was the point of the game that we were at. And sometimes you will be faced with those decisions and sometimes you won't. And
I mean, it's definitely better to be we were talking to Emily and I think about this last time, that like it's going to be weird and messy in the beginning. And then at the end, like, you're only stuck with clearly good players that have made it that far. So if anybody takes offense at that point, it's kind of like, bro, like, someone has to go in and someone has to go home, and four pairs need to be in that final, and you got your spot. So after that, I've been like, sorry, I'm here. I mean, part of you is like, I worked this hard. I kind of made a lot of waves. I ruffled feathers. I did work. You know, you were never really safe in this game.
I mean, if you've got to like say one of your friends' names, at least it's at a point where it's either you going to the final or not going to the final, versus like the third vote in and you're saying your friend's name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So at least there's like, I don't know, justification to it a little bit more.
I don't know if I want to dive into that part. Like, I want to know more about the vote, but
yeah, me too.
Like when they said stalemate, it's a two-parter. Were you expecting that? Mm-hmm. And were you expecting to then, if there was a stalemate, have to pick a pair to go against Troy and Casey?
Yes. Yeah, so I was expecting a stalemate. I was hoping they wouldn't stalemate it, you know, like just put, because ultimately, you know, they're only sending one team in, so we don't have a decision. So almost Theo and I almost got to get away with, you know, getting without
having
getting
your
messy.
Hands clean. Yep. Yeah. Without having to do anything.
And you know, that's just, you know, having your cake and eating it too. And so, once they stalemated, I was like, fuck, now what? But you know, the conversation that you see Emily and I having in the bathroom, I've basically told her, like, I'm sorry, but I'm not turning my back on Danny. And we literally just made that deal with Jordan and Kaz. And so, you know, it sucked. Like I had weighed a lot of things. I hate that I even had to have that conversation with Danny. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, I think it made Danny be like, what the hell? Like, why
right.
are we?
It looked like
definitely
that.
Definitely instilled
yeah.
doubt in Danny.
Yeah. And so I hate that I had that conversation with him, but I needed to talk through it. Because, mm-hmm. okay, so Theo wanted to put Tori and Danny in. Mm-hmm. And like, Yes and Emily wanted us to put them in too. And so mm-hmm. I've got all these people in my ear. You know, and Theo was like, it's going to look really bad if you turn on Emily now. And so like Danny was the last person I had talked to. And so I'm kind of like just filling him in on what I'm thinking right now. Mm-hmm. And to me, I was just trying to talk through things, but I can totally see how Danny takes it as like, I'm contemplating this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I flat out told him, I'm like, Danny, I'm not I just needed to talk through it. And I go, you know, and I apologized for even having to have that conversation. And I go, I will show you. I talked to Emily and I told her like, it's going to be you guys. And that sucked mm-hmm. having that conversation with her too. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm going to let her know. And then ultimately we didn't even have to make the decision. And I was like,
wish I didn't have that conversation with anyone.
But you know what? I'm not upset about not having it because I felt so bad that I even brought the conversation up with Danny, that even though we didn't have to make the decision, Danny still saw that I chose him. And so
we saw Danny ask you during that conversation, or he said, you know, my biggest thing is I would have just loved a heads up. Looking back, it's sort of two parts. A, was there an opportunity to give him a heads up of, hey, I know you were thinking, you already explained that you were thinking, oh, we're not going to get our hands messy anyway, you know. But looking back, do you wish you had given him or Emily a heads up before that voting happened, just so that either one of them maybe felt a little less blindsided? Or,
well, okay, so if I let them know, like, well, I mean, clearly,
maybe like after you won, you know, on the bus ride back, for example, not literally, but you know what I mean, like before actual deliberations are happening.
I don't think there's like, okay, so if I tell Danny, like, hey, man, like this is going to be a tough decision. And again, I was getting, you know, I have a partner too. And you know, like Theo had wanted to save Yes and Emily. And so I'm sitting there like, if I would have told Danny, I felt like I would have been going behind Emily's back then. Like, mm-hmm. cause I'd be giving Danny a heads up to basically don't stalemate it, because FYI, you know, so I would have rather just, if we're going to ultimately make the decision anyway, then I'd rather just, then I'm not doing anything shady to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can live with that. And you can also come back from that.
Right. You know? Right. And that was the thing. Like, if I give Danny a heads up, hey, don't stalemate it. And then, yeah, it keeps my hands clean until it comes out that Sarah told me to not stalemate it. Now,
right.
Now I'm the bad guy.
Right.
And where I can own a decision that I have to make and I can explain why I have to make it, mm-hmm. but there's no explaining like that shadiness, you know?
Did Emily's behavior towards you change after you had that conversation in the bathroom, like before you guys went down to the arena?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had that conversation. We were supposed to be leaving for elimination. And for whatever reason, we couldn't do the elimination that night. Mm-hmm. So not only that.
Oh God, you had to sit with it.
Yeah. So not only that, we share a room.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now, yeah.
Awkward.
So, yep. So yeah, it sucked. And she was a wreck like the whole day. She's just kept to herself. So it really, really sucked to have that happen. And then, you know, parts of me, like I would battle with like, okay, I'm trying to see it from her standpoint, but then at the same time, I'm like, but like, I mean, this predicament that I'm in, like if this was Grant, if it was you in my shoes and it's Grant mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. me, I wouldn't even ask you to save me. I would expect
over
you
Grant,
to save
yeah.
Grant. And I wouldn't
sense.
Be upset with you at all.
Right.
And so then like, I'm battling with that. I'm like, so like, you're mad at me, but is that fair? And then, but ultimately anybody can feel how they want to feel. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
And so I think all of it was justified. I just, you know, if I could do anything different, like I would go back and, you know, not make Danny feel the way that I made him feel, because
yeah.
he didn't deserve that. And yeah. and that's not what I had intended either.
Mm-hmm.
I just,
because he was riding for you. I mean,
I know. No, I
like
no.
he was going to war with Tori. He was going to war with everybody. He was going to war with the viewers. He was riding for Sarah.
Right.
All season.
And that's why I'm glad that I had the conversation with him too, because it was like,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting the other side of it from, yes, Emily, Theo, and Kaz a little bit, and then mm-hmm. And nobody's going to bat for Danny right now. And so it's like I'm hearing all this in one ear, and then so I'm glad like it was just no. And yeah, but I would say if I have any regret from the season, it's the fact that I made Danny feel that way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's really sweet.
We definitely
That's
saw like a softer side, I feel, of you tonight.
I know, and
it was
I love
like the family side, the friend side.
Well, this whole season, which I've loved, because Sarah last season was buck wild. Sarah was like coming and gunning, full guns ablazing in every single episode in Challenge USA. And this season, we got to see more of the side that we saw on the podcast last season, like when you came on and we interviewed you, and we got to just see, you know, no one's one note, and so it was cool getting to see these other notes mm-hmm. of Sarah.
Wait, so before we go any further, we need to take a quick break, but we will be right back after this.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah! I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen.
Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new, Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
Sarah, we saw you and Emily get married on this season of The Challenge. How, you know, are you guys still married? How
they got engaged. They didn't get married.
Yeah, we got engaged.
Well, do we have a date at least?
Now I'm out of the conversation. I was just in it for a second.
She's actually engaged now to somebody else. So,
are you okay?
I'm okay. It just so happens that I'm married also. So, maybe that's for the best, but now that, we're ex-fiancés now, you know, so for future players, if we're ever back in a challenge theme, we will not vote for each other because.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that right now. Because people will hold you to this. They will timestamp this shit. They'll be Sarah said it's such and such, however many minutes and seconds, that she is never going to vote for Emily. And Emily's never going to vote for that.
She's already said it now. It's out there.
I know, until they put her husband on the show with her or somebody else, and then it's her. Listen, or Danny again.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Right. That could be tough. Yep. Sarah, now when they come to a stalemate, because I feel like they've been hinting at this all season, and I've been wondering about this, and I'm curious your thoughts too, Nene, because we see TJ warn, don't do a stalemate again, right? Like, we see him increasingly get annoyed when the stalemate is happening. And so he said it once, stalemate happened, he said, don't do it again. And then it happened again, and he's like, I said, don't do a stalemate. And then y'all do it again, and I just knew.
Not y'all. I wasn't in on that.
Okay, fine. You weren't in on this one. You weren't in on this one. But this season, this group does a stalemate again. Was there any fear in your mind going up there to that elimination that TJ wasn't going to take kindly? Or did you think he was kind of just like all talk and that it would, you know, play as usual?
Yeah, I thought he was all talk and it was going to play as usual. I definitely did not see it coming down to Casey and Troy picking. He definitely threw
worked out well
at
for you,
us.
Though.
It did, because I was worried for you for a minute that he was going to say that you guys had to go in because he's done it before.
Nah, he said we punched our ticket.
Yeah.
Said it when we won the challenge.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So when they said that it was Casey and Troy got to decide, did you instantly know that it was going to be Emily and Yes?
Yeah. I mean, there was no way they were going to put in Danny and Tori. And even if they weren't friends with Danny and Tori, they're not putting Danny and Tori in. And then Jordan and Kaz, Casey and Jordan are tight. Like, there was no way. The only option on the table was Emily and Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely felt karma-esque, right? Like, it definitely felt a little, especially because Troy and Casey were in that elimination specifically because Yes and Emily, you know, sabotaged them first to get them down there. So it felt like one of those challenge poetic moments where it
kind of
like comes full circle where it's like, okay, you guys did this. You've been coming for, you know, us the whole time. Now you have to go against us, which is, as a viewer, I'm sure being up there doesn't feel so great, but as a viewer,
it was awesome.
It was sort of beautiful to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, I hate that it happened obviously to Yes and Emily, but I mean, if you take that off the table, yeah, it's as a viewer, it's super fun to watch, and you're like, boom, you know, you got what you wanted. So, no, I think it all worked out. Even though I didn't have to say, I already said who I was picking, so I really still didn't get to skate without, you know, making it known. But Emily and I have recovered since then, and she understands that it's a game, and it wasn't personal. And it was, you know, again, if it was Grant there, she would have done the same thing, and I would have expected that.
How often do you and Emily talk?
I don't know. Maybe like once a week, but it's okay. Like through message. Okay. Because I mean,
off. I had to talk to her at 7 a.m.
Yeah, and like you can't make phone call. Well, I don't know. I guess you could make a phone call like. I don't know. You can use Google, whatever. I don't know what people do.
And what's
talk
that?
To people and, yeah, that.
yeah, that thing.
I live in Iowa.
They don't have WhatsApp there?
No.
They do.
We don't have Uber either.
Do you not have Uber?
Uh-uh.
It's okay.
Are you serious?
Austin, Texas didn't have Uber either.
No, okay, so we do have Uber, but like nobody uses it. But
oh, that's fair, because you guys drive, everybody drives.
Right. So anytime like I would go anywhere for casting stuff, like whether it be Survivor or like with the challenge, I would always have to re-download the Uber app on my phone. Like, you know, they would fly you to do medical or they would whatever. I would have to always download the app because I don't ever use it.
You'd have to take your horse to the airport.
You mentioned, Sarah, that you kept in touch with Danny, you know, during the off season. What do you guys chat about? Are you strategizing or like what are the Sarah and Danny conversations like?
honestly, why is that funny, Anissa?
Because I feel like there's a big whiteboard and it's a production. Oh, and like, I've been researching and there's like, what? Like, I just feel like it's like an... It's a whole episode of Law and Order, and you're like, dun, 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 dun. And then like you have these whole boards up, like Tori's face is up there, and there's like red marks and darts in it, and like this is like the potential cast, and you guys are like, this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah, we have like the strings running from
right.
picture to picture, like
get
this person
out.
Has had sex with this person, and this.
Watch out for these connections.
These two have held hands. Yeah.
I mean, you're.
No, that's not what our conversations are like. No, they're just regular conversations, you know. And like we'll talk about everything. During football season, we talk about football. Like he does fantasy league. So do I. You know, he works with the Cowboys. So you know, we talk about all that stuff. And then like when we were training, so like Danny's like, hey, like before we take off, like let's get up to 10 miles. Right. So as we were training throughout the week, we would send each other like our runs for that day. You know, to so if I had, it's 5 o'clock and I haven't gotten out and ran and Danny sends me his, that he went out and ran like 8 miles this morning. I'm like, oh shit, I better get on it. And so, yeah, we just like kept each other in check and, but it was fun.
Yeah. It sounds so, I just ran 8 miles this morning. It was amazing.
I know.
Right? You're like, oh my God, I feel so inspired. I'll be back in 3 days.
That's pretty much what it's like.
I mean, it is nice to have a partner like that.
Yeah, for sure. An accountability part, like an inspiration / accountability partner.
Would you love like a friend, like another ride or dies thing, like to be paired up with Danny?
Oh, yeah. Danny's like would be like the dream partner to have.
Yeah, you guys would be a team.
You don't
to
think
watch
it would cause
sure.
any friction? Because I almost feel like you two being on separate sides or like different pairs helps you to kind of like work your strategy throughout the house a little bit more efficiently.
Yeah, I think we're more effective not being partners because, you know, it's like having two bullets in the gun instead of one.
Right.
But if we're on the same, you know, if we're the same partner team, then yeah, we only got one shot. Where, as you know, yeah, I definitely.
But once you get to that final, though, I mean.
But yeah, well, no. If I can run a final, like.
With him as your partner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Danny's so ideal for that.
I love that.
Yeah. The guy will not quit. And he'll encourage you. And you know that you'll get 100% out of him. And
yeah,
that's all you want in a partner.
Or backing down, which I really admire that part, too. It's like, no matter what happened, he, like, really stuck to what he believed in. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kiki was on those talks with y'all, but there's a lot.
Coach yeah, Kiki, she's probably going to yell at me once she sees this episode and be like, what the fuck are you thinking? So Kiki, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Trust me.
It's fine. You could tell her, listen, she'll be okay. Danny didn't go anywhere. It's fine.
When you got back to the elimination and you saw that it was Hall Brawl and we saw that Emily and Yes were going in, we know who you wanted to win, but like, what was your gut instinct when you saw them lining up to go against one another? Who did you assume likely would win Hall Brawl?
Yeah, I thought Emily and Yes were going to win. And cause Yes is bigger than Troy. And then, you know, Emily's a beast. And so, and I know Casey is too, but I don't know. I had it in favor of them. the mm-hmm. I think their downfall was this, is like I had said, just the night before, I told her she was going in, she was out of it all day. Mm-hmm. And so she was like down in the dumps, like bad for the whole day. Whereas like Casey and Troy knew they were going in the whole time. And like, mm-hmm. you know, they've got a different mindset, I think, going into it. Cause you see Emily get in there and she beats Casey on the first one. And so it's,
but like, it wasn't as easy as it would have been. Like, I actually think, I feel like with Hall Brawl, and this one was a little different because sometimes we've seen it where the Hall Brawl really is so narrow, it's almost like they can't get their shoulders through, right? Like it literally becomes a thing where, yeah, they had a little more space to like move around. And just like your buddy Danny said, even though Hall Brawl seems like it's a size thing, and sometimes it is. I think we remember what was it, Big Easy versus Wes, which just, you know, was a pretty like just wiped Wes out in that moment. But it's the center of gravity, like being able to get low and move through has such an advantage. And both Emily and Yes are very tall, right? With long limbs. So for them to get low is challenge, you know, harder than it's going to be for a, what did Troy say? He was like 5'7" or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Casey as well, but they definitely put up really, really good fights. Who did you want to see when it got to the coin flip, right? And it was like, okay, they're going to decide if it's a men's round or a women's round to determine it. Were you hoping it would be a women's round again, or were you hoping it would be a male round? Like, who do you think had the better odds?
Yeah, I was hoping it would be a women's round, because Emily's just came off, you know, fresh off that win. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I was hoping that like mentally that would have given her like a boost and maybe mm-hmm. knocked Casey down a little bit and put some doubt in her mind. Like, oh shit, like, can I pull this out? Like, can I do this? And so
yeah.
I was happy to see that. But as you see them go in, like you just said about the leverage and getting low, I mean, Casey just got lower than her. And then it, you know, and then ultimately it turns into a foot race too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It yeah. definitely
And
does.
That's where I think Emily and Yes had it, because they take longer strides, right? Because they have longer limbs. So in that regard, they had an advantage there, but it was a really interesting final. How long do you think it took for that, or for, it was instant elimination. How long do you think it took all up? Did everything happen pretty quickly, or was it?
Yeah, it was pretty quick. It wasn't like as fast as Enzo and Leo's Hall Brawl on mm-hmm. Challenge USA, but
not you, Shaden.
but yeah, it wasn't like Kiki and Claudia's pole wrestle. I mean, that yeah. took a while, you know, where this was over a lot quicker. But it also, nobody like ran the other person over and it was like a done deal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a fierce cut. Yeah. That was one of those moments where I was, you know, like holding my breath and yeah. And it seemed like it was interesting too, because all five teams that are remaining are stacked teams at this point, right? Like all five teams are teams that you don't necessarily want to see. And even when we see people like Tori, for example, rooting for Casey, who's her friend, you know that there's still probably an element of, I don't want to actually see Casey in the final. You know, like, I don't want to see Troy.
I don't know.
Troy,
okay, here, I'm going to get a little
feisty. Give us some tea. Give us some tea.
I disagree with that a little bit. I mean, these guys, listen, part of the problem I have with these, Nisa, don't be looking at me like that.
Yeah, I'm talking shit. That's fine.
So here's the thing. I feel like they are kind of having alliances that are bought and paid for. And, you know,
explain.
Well, when Casey wins and gives Tori $50,000, when last season Tori wins and gives Jordan, Nani, Johnny, you know, $38,000, they all get this money. It's like, then do you really care who you want your friends in there? Even if they could beat you, because
yeah, but I didn't know. They're, like, I was gonna give money away, but not everybody was gonna give money if they won.
Yeah,
the last
they're not
final.
Required. At and all. Wouldn't you rather the big sum than the little sum? You know, friends or not?
Because when you run a final, win, you want to get a dollar or two. I don't care who the hell's in there. And the last one, the one before that, when CT and Casey won, like they mm-hmm. were given the option. This one, they just came up with giving us money, and I'm like,
right,
thank you, best friend.
I mean.
But I would have shared money with Tori if I would have won. But that's because we just endured 100 hours of bullshit.
Right. But are you implying that they're saying that they're okay if they have their friends in there who they feel could beat them, that they
are going to kick back money
would
anyway?
Rather that, because yeah, like, wouldn't you rather have the people you feel you could beat, period? Also, if your friends aren't in there, it means you don't have to share money because you don't like the people you're going up against.
Except when there are sabotages in the final, because you get less of them if you have more friends. Otherwise,
yeah,
people are putting it all on you.
Yeah,
it's a hard one to juggle here.
I don't know. I just think that, you know, only one team, if four teams go to the final, only one is going to win. And if you've got people in there that have thrown cash your way after they've won in the past, why wouldn't you want them going to the final with you over Yes and Emily, who've never thrown any money your way?
Well, we don't. You don't know that
liking thing.
You don't even know.
But that's just
because Yes. Well, I'm not gonna put his shit out there because Yes is a close friend of mine, but I have his letter on my fridge to this day after All Stars. But not everything has to be seen. I think a lot of people do things off camera that are noble and wonderful and whatever. I don't like if I were to run a final with Tori again, I would not expect her to give me money. She's my best friend. But I wouldn't, it wouldn't be an expectation.
I don't think anybody goes in with that expectation.
It's nice.
Right? I mean, like, it's nice. Yeah, to it's get a nice, it. And it's something we've seen kind of more recently. Yeah. But I don't
think it's also because we get pissed off that, like, there used to be three places. So everybody got something.
I come from the three places.
Because when you do a whole final and it's like, what did we just do that for?
Yeah.
At least give us incentive or give us 10 grand to be like, you know what? You did a good job, bro. Like, not good enough to, like, win. But, like, you endured the whole thing and you lost at the last second.
Right.
Like, somebody beat you
and
by
I think
10
that's
seconds.
Why some of the vets do it. Because exactly like you said, Anissa, like, the two finals I did, I came in third place both times. I got money both times. Yeah. Not handed, but earned money both times. And so I think these vets looking at it know exactly what Anissa is saying, that, like, it's sucky to do all that, get nothing. And I just wonder, because I feel like the term bought and paid for implies that there's this quid pro quo, or that there's less sort of legitimacy behind getting there winning. Whereas, like, anyone handing out money is not expected, just like when TJ throws in the twist of the reverse in the past, where it's like, oh, actually, both members of the team don't, you know, you can keep all the money or whatever. You don't have to share it. I think, you know, that happens too.
I guess maybe a little bit more context to that is I'm going back to a nomination discussion that we all had at the table where Tori's refusing to say Casey's name. And she is like, she gave me $50,000. And she's like, you know, cramming that down our throats. Like, you can't expect me to say her name. She gave me money.
I think, and then, but not like that. I think it's also like, because when Casey's like, Casey's my friend is not enough. I think it's, well, she also did this for me as well. So, like, it's almost like, how the hell do I put somebody in here who, like, potentially paid my bills for a year? Like,
yeah,
we have this thing, but Casey is also our friend. Like, I'm not saying.
Right. And the way
into our thing, but like, there are real friendships outside of this that
Way you felt strongly about Emily, but there wasn't money involved, but you felt strongly about the connection you built with her and that proposal. Then, you know, I think it's similar, or there are strong connections otherwise. And I think they're saying that Tori was offering the money on top. So it's like,
I get what Sarah's saying also too, coming in, like, you're coming into a game that started way before you started.
I
think that also changes your perception of, like, what's going on. Well, not your perspective of, like, what's going on, how it's going on, or what it may look like to you.
And who which you can trust, because you're still
which isn't a bad thing. Like, you're, I mean, feel how you want about whatever. I mean, you've been on point about certain things, and you're going to play how you want to play regardless. I can see how it can be a little irritating to see these things play out. I get that. I'm not trying to jump on your back, like, you know, you for it. I'm just trying to explain the one side so you could see it a little bit better, that, like, it doesn't have shit to do with you, but all, like, we expect to see each other again.
And then
too.
And that's like, and the point that. Of it doesn't have shit to do with me, so why are you guys making it my problem? Is
that's
and
fair.
I get that.
I mean, that's a fair,
you know, it's like all of your guys's reasonings behind everything you want to do and why you want to do it this way is they're my friend, they gave me money, we have this, we have that. And it's like, well, none of that includes me. And so we're here to play this game. I'm here playing the world championship. So you can tell me this till you're blue in the face, but at the end of the day, that's your problem, not mine.
It's not going to change how you play. And I like that.
Yeah.
That you are consistent.
Yeah.
And there's this, you get the same Sarah. There's no like switching up, which is, yeah. is a and that's, great character trait.
That's a valid, I think that's a valid perspective. I know earlier in the season, we had conversations around Danny, who took a similar stance as you. You guys are very much on the same page. The difference being, though, that Danny stood to benefit, though, from the very alliance he was complaining about at that time, simply because Tori, you know, like he's, it's not like it was, you know, you guys weren't playing with the legends, quote unquote, you guys were partnered with them. So his partner stood to benefit, which therefore meant Danny stood to benefit. And one could argue that you and Theo didn't have the same benefit. You know what I mean? Like Theo didn't have the same strong alliances that Tori had coming in the house. So like, you having like, your stance made sense.
Jordan or Johnny and Tori, you know, wanted us like following their lead on this. And I'm sitting here going, well, okay, Casey's going to have Tori, Johnny's going to have Tori, and mm-hmm. Jordan's going to have Tori before they're going to have me.
Right.
And right. then, and vice versa. I mean, yeah, I've got Danny, but unless they can
but he's even low on that totem pole. Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, and then like, Johnny wasn't letting Justine like have a voice. So as much as she's an ally, it wasn't helping our numbers because he was doing like whatever he wanted. So he mm-hmm. was his pitch to me. And I think why he got so frustrated and I wouldn't, because like, dude, if you would have just, I'm not an idiot. Like you're using right. me as a number. You're trying mm-hmm. to make it sound like I'm part of the group, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I am, but I'm really low. And right. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to, because guess what? Those relationships that you told me were stupid, that I shouldn't like, don't trust a 3-second relationship over the 10-year relationships we have. Well, those 3-second relationships saved my ass more than once.
Right. And your relationship with Johnny is 3 seconds, right. realistically. So he's telling you not to trust your intuition over
and
his
then,
new
look,
relationship.
When he gets sent home, and none of his people turn around and help him. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, well, you told me that these guys were so tight with you. Well, sure doesn't look like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things mm-hmm. can happen that way. It's a little
yeah.
funny.
Yeah. And therein lies the challenge. All right. So we got to see a little sneak peek of the final coming up. Now, without giving anything away, what can you tease about the final? Like, what's just give us a little, just like a little taste, Sarah, of what we should look out for.
It's brutal. And I would say it was, I thought the Challenge USA final was bad. I would put this one on another level.
Mm-hmm.
Was TJ in the train outfit the whole final? Are we seeing him in the hat and the coat? I can't. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. it's my favorite thing when he gets dressed up because he looks absolutely ridiculous, but he's such a good sport.
Yeah. No. Yep. He's the driver of that train the whole time, Nisa. So
little conductor TJ. Mm-hmm. I love that. And then also your son's drawing. How is this budding artist doing?
Oh, yeah, he's doing good. You know, if he drew a picture of you, it would look very similar to the one that he drew of me.
I love that.
What's that?
Did you have bangs in that?
I don't think they were supposed to be bangs. No, I think it was like hair coming off to the side.
Listen, yeah. It's abstract, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's meant to be that way. I'm into it.
Yeah. It's whatever he wants it to be.
Listen.
I love it. I love, he's got to start him young. I appreciate that he's found his creativity.
The worst thing is like anytime he like, cause kids, he's 8, he'll turn 9 in August. And mm-hmm. so like kids, they draw all the time. They color and they draw all the time. And they think that they have to give their parents every drawing and every picture they color. Like they could take a crayon and draw one line on a piece of paper and here, keep this, mom. And so like anytime, like if I throw any of his artwork away, it's not even artwork. It's not artwork.
Sarah.
It's like drawings on paper. Like I literally have to bury it in the trash can because if he goes to throw something away, because he's opened it up and he's been like, pulls it out like, mom, and he can't believe that I threw it away. And it's like, but I have like 150 of the same drawing. Like, come on.
I have 150
man.
Lines now. Thank you.
Yeah.
You are hilarious. So good. Well, maybe he'll get his dolphin award. What was it that you said Theo had?
It's a dolphin badge. Okay. And all you have to do is be able to write your name.
So if anybody's trying to be on the challenge, make sure you have your dolphin badge first.
Yes.
To show how good of a swimmer you think you are.
So wait, can I just tell a quick funny story about Kaz? She's going to kill me for this.
That's fine. Part two tell.
All right. So, and Kaz, I love her. She's absolutely hilarious. I loved her these last couple of episodes where you've seen her really come into her skin. And it's funny because Jordan and Theo like would always be like, Kaz, stand up for yourself. And then now that she's starting to talk back to them, you know, and you see her like hold her own, they're like, go back to the old Kaz. And we're like, no. But anyway, so, you know, we had people from Argentina, Australia, like everybody has an accent, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody says different phrases. And they, when we were doing like the tunnel time thing or whatever it was, you know, we had to do math. But Australians and people from the UK, they call it maths. And they kept calling it maths, but they say it like maths. And I'm like, okay, Kaz, what are you saying? She goes, you know, maths. And I go, all right, spell it. And she goes, M-A-F. And I go, what?
What? She goes, I thought she was going to say T-H-F.
No. Yeah, I did too.
No, and she goes, wait. M-A-T-H-S. And I'm like, you did not like. So if Jordan thought she was bad at math, you know, like, she's way worse at spelling.
You know, maths.
M-A-F. I'm like, what?
That's amazing.
So yeah, she's going to kill me for saying that, but it's a true story.
I love it.
That's so hilarious. Now, if everyone wants to follow along and get more of your true stories, Inside Scoop, or see some of your son's artwork that you're not throwing away, Sarah, where can they find you on social?
It's just at Sarah Lucina on Instagram, and that's all I got. And if you, Davon, if you send me your address, I will start sending you artwork.
You know Davon's not on this podcast.
I mean, why do I keep saying, I don't know why I say that.
It's because Davon and Devin are close enough and people do.
I messed up Sarah so much. I'm like, Samantha, I messed up a lot, Stacey. And I will tell you, sometimes, Steph, it happens.
Thanks, Annie. But the reality
Someone actually calls me Annie, so it's all right. It's like part of my name.
That's not your name?
It's part of my name.
It is, or is it? Oh, Amy?
I mean, it could be A&E.
No, I feel like an asshole for calling you that because I
thought we were cooler than that, Sarah.
No, we totally are, like, and that's why I feel like a dick
built
right
a
now.
Thing. Mm-hmm. I even gave you my gold star of the week at some point this season. I know. Last season, you got all the side eyes.
Yeah.
You literally did get all the side eyes last season.
But
you've come up. I'm so proud of you.
So
good on you.
Anyway, Devin. Send me your address and I will start sending you artwork.
They're going to be worth something someday. Well, thank you so much for being here, Sarah. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. We've loved watching you this season. It's great seeing your gameplay and you're really holding down the fort despite Theo's inability to swim properly. So kudos to you and can't wait to see you in your back-to-back final. Final, can't wait to see you kick some butt.
All right, let's go get it.
Woohoo!
Bye, Selena.
Bye,
great.
Sally Ann.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing. His house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger. And we want to feel as if anything could happen.
Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
Well, I'm happy that I finally got to meet Sarah.
Yeah.
She didn't disappoint and is as honest as she is on TV, mm-hmm. as she is on Zoom. So I was excited to hear her perspective, and I like the fact that she doesn't back down from anything. So I appreciated that interview.
You guys have a similar stubbornness. That's true. For those...
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I like to be unwavering on certain topics that I really believe in.
Yeah, I think if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. But then there's got to be a little fluidity there. And I think what's cool is we're seeing Sarah grow in that way, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing she's strong where it counts, but she's constantly evolving. And that makes it really fun to watch and fun to talk to and fun to follow along on social media. If people want to follow you on social media, Anissa, where should they do that?
One place, and that's Instagram, Anissa MTV, A-N-E-S-A-M-T-V. That's the only place I am. No Twitter, no TikTok. But you know who's on every single thing? Devin. And she will tell you where you can follow, like, and love her stuff.
That's correct. You can go to my website, devinsimone.com. That's seven with a Y, Simone with an I. And if you scroll to the bottom, you'll see all of my socials. But if it makes it easier, you can go to my Instagram. It's Devin Simone. My TikTok, also Devin Simone. Twitter, also Devin Simone. Or you can stream along live with me on Amazon. So you can go to amazon.com/shop/Devin Simone. Click the follow button, and I will give you a shout out whenever we are doing our fun live streams. We did one with Dolly Parton the other day, which was so fun. So make sure you tune into that. And if you liked this episode, rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and tell all of your friends, especially if they have names that sound alike, like Devon and Devin and Anissa, Amy, Annie, Sarah, Stephanie, you know, that sort of thing. Just tell everyone.
I was totally gonna tell them to go to Devon.com for all of your Devon with an A. But I didn't. But you know what you folks can do? You can catch new episodes of the Challenge World Championship Wednesdays on Paramount Plus.
And we'll see you back here next week.
We'll see you back together.
For a brand new episode of MTV's official Challenge podcast.
Sheesh.
Anissa, you're supposed to say
that. We're not. We weren't in sync on that one. So
we were not. Know.
It's totally fine.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.